So this is the very first podcast, and we've actually managed to save the best for first, I have a feeling here. It's the first day of the BFD conference here, 2024 in Sydney. Joining me at the podcast desk is Scott Maggs of Skin Check Champions. Scott, thanks for joining us, mate.
Pleasure, Justin. Thanks for having me.
And you've already given your presentation somehow since meeting me. You went off and you went off for breakfast and then you went off and did a presentation. Let's just talk about your presentation first of all. Tell us about what were you presenting at the conference?
Yeah, so it was called Life at the Coalface of Skin Cancer. And it was basically targeted towards doctors. You find people. Because I think it's such a big issue in this country, and doctors and GPs are just fully at the brunt of it.
Yep.
And I think it deserves a lot more attention and resourcing. And it's really hard to keep up with the issue, I imagine, running a practice, and it's tricky. So yeah, the coalface of skin cancer.
So as a patient for us, I've actually had a melanoma cut out, and it was because of an AFL player was promoting go and get moles checked.
Oh, right. Not Jared Ruffhead?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, he nearly died. Yeah.
Right, and so he's in that, and then so my wife and I, maybe we should get those funny looking moles checked out.
Yep.
I did, it was in Sydney, melanoma, cut out, all good.
Wow.
And so now I'm getting checked all the time, but as a patient, do we go to a GP, do we go to a skin clinic? And we get different opinions, and And we're told to look for things that are different.
Yeah.
And I've shown moles that have turned black to my GPs, who is a skin specialist, but not the skin specialist from a skin clinic.
Mm.
No, that one's fine.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Really? But that's what we're looking for. But this one's a bit, so it's a minefield.
Yeah. So apparently 75%, around 75% of suspect lesions are first identified by the patient. Which is exactly what happened in your case.
Yeah.
And then ideally your doctor can kind of follow up on that intuition. But what I always say to everyone is trust your gut, because I've heard so many horror stories of people going to their doctor and for one reason or another, them saying, no, you're okay. And then seeing someone else it going terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And we found one the other day on a guy. This might be a good story actually to kind of jump into it. But basically, on our social media, a bloke reached out to us. He lost his wife to melanoma, and they've got three kids. And it had been a year since she passed away, and he wanted to put on a memorial event for her on her birthday. And so he got in touch with us, and we flew a team there and did skin checks for the community at the local golf club. And one of his mates that they used to go on a family trip to Wangaratta and do water skiing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's from Wangaratta. Anyway, on the Murray. And basically they kind of grew up doing all these holidays together. And he came down from Wangaratta and came to the event, and we checked him, and he had something right in the middle of his back, and he was worried about it. And he'd seen his doctor, I think, two or three times, and apparently this doctor was like a super duper specialist originally from the Gold Coast.
Skin specialist? Right.
And said it was okay, you don't have to worry about it. He saw our nurse, she photographed it, she double checked it through the AI that we're kind of unofficially working with, and it said with like 92% certainty that it thought it was a melanoma, and she thought it was as well. And he took that report back to his doctor and said, listen, like, I've got two kind of solid opinions here. So the doctor took it out, biopsied it, and I think it was like stage four or stage three or four melanoma. And basically he just wrote to us and said, I'm so grateful for that, because like, and it's hard, I imagine it must be hard for every single doctor looking at skin cancer all the time on lots of different people, and you miss stuff.
Absolutely.
You can miss stuff.
Busy day, checking the entire body.
It's hard.
Yeah. So, tattoos.
Yeah, all of that. So it's a really, it's hard to be 100%, but it's good to aim towards that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So let's talk about the golden beard, because we've just done a bit of research on you. There's not a lot of time. We have no research faculty, unfortunately, so we're just straight into it. But most of you guys are very good at talking about yourselves, so I appreciate that. So tell us about that. The $1 million beard, was it?
Yeah, so basically how I got into all this is one of my friends from uni, he passed away or was killed by skin cancer. 26 years old.
A dot discovered on his neck.
Yeah, just a little spot on his neck. Didn't realize it was bad as it was until it was too late and it got into his
system. So we're covered in spots.
Yeah. And it's hard. Like, you can't rely on the everyday Aussie to know what's going on. And the other thing is, you might see something every single day and not notice a change.
Yes, that's right.
So that's where, like, your doctor or people like hairdressers or people who see you intermittently can notice that change and like partners and stuff. Wes didn't realize this thing was bad. By the time he did, it had gone into his system and he was killed. And basically at his wake, we decided we're going to focus on early detection. We're going to try and do something that's not being done as well as it can or should be. And we were like, who are we going to focus the message on? And we decided that, you know, we were very much the target audience. We were kind of young.
Outdoorsy.
A lot of us had grown up on the land and very rarely see a doctor. And so we're like, how are we going to reach that group? And so we created this thing called Beard Season, and we turned winter, June to August, into a time to grow your beard, get checked, and then tell as many people as you can to get checked as well. Because back in those days, no one really had a beard, especially young people. So
they have really taken off. Look at us with our little beards.
Yeah.
I never had a beard until COVID. Once COVID hit.
I know. Well, yeah. So basically, we kind of piggybacked and fueled the beard trend, like in a lot of ways, to the point where we had a big exhibition in London called Beard. We teamed up with this photographer, and we over 18 months he took these incredible portraits, and we had 33,000 people come to the exhibition.
So you're responsible for that beard. I did notice that it was sort of around 2000, maybe 18, before COVID, I reckon. There was just Ned Kelly's getting around everywhere. Yeah. It just became a thing. The hipster cafe, the bearded guy, that was you guys.
Yeah.
But it was for a good cause, so that's all right.
Yeah, we're just trying to, like, rather than being just a trend, we were trying to attach something really meaningful to it. And we got to meet, like, Richard Branson invited me to Necker Island. Chris Hemsworth kind of promoted it to his massive audience. And we got heaps of great media support. And tons of people kind of jumped on board. And it was really, really good. And it was like launching a charity. It's really hard, and it was a side project for ages while I was still working, like, around the clock in advertising. So, like, having it on my face every day didn't cost me anything, but it opened a lot of doors. And
clever idea.
And it kind of helped it grow to a point where I could jump out of my full-time job and full-time into the charity.
Well, you literally hit the stratosphere meeting Richard Branson.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
That was so good. So,
because he would have been busy with his, like, Virgin Galactica around that time, I reckon.
Yeah, he was. Jeez. He was just about to go. And my challenge was, and everyone can do this, and I encourage everyone to do this, but when I started growing the beard, the whole idea was that it started conversations. And and I challenged myself to meet someone new every day. I was like, I'm going to talk to someone I've never talked to before. Spread the message, and I documented that on social media, and so every person I met, I posted a photo with them.
And somehow you'd bring into the conversation about just check your skin, by the way.
Yeah, and like, my friend died, I don't want you to get checked. And and I thought, because I kept growing this beard, and I was like, I can't just shave this thing tomorrow. I'm gonna, and we'd need a fundraising thing to keep the charity going. So. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to shave till we raise $1 million. And I said, I need to make it worth $1 million. So who's the biggest beard in business? Richard Branson. And so I just put it out to the world that I wanted to meet him. And so lots of people knew about that. And then when he was in Australia, a friend of mine said, "Oi, he's at my hotel, come now and I'll try and tee something up."
Yeah.
And I met him and told him the story. And then a month later, his office in London got in touch and said, "Do you mind if Richard shares the story about your beard?"
Of course not. So does he have a connection with skin cancer at all?
Or no, well, he actually said, so when he invited me to Necker Island, the first thing he said, he pulled me aside and he was like, "Thanks so much for introducing yourself to me that day in Sydney. I went and got checked and found something on my shoulder that I had no idea about."
You're kidding.
And he's out in the, you know, he's kiteboarding and like he's out and about a
lot.
Is he?
Yeah, right.
And even a billionaire didn't have time to get checked properly. And when
probably
he did,
less
when he
time,
did, he
mate.
Found
less
something.
Time. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
wow.
Like that for me just really kind of having hearing those words from his mouth was just a good, you know, pat on the back.
Absolutely, mate. That's fantastic. Now you reached the stratosphere literally with Richard Branson. And so what are your plans for the next coming years now? Like you're back to work. Are you still in advertising or are you just solely focused on?
I sold the beer in 2021. We had $1 million roughly. We'd spent a lot of that on doing our pop-up skin check program in the lead up. But in total, we hit that $1 million mark. And then basically I set aside a big chunk of money of that to go towards a research project, kind of piloting the model that we've been working on since starting the pop-up clinic stuff.
Mm.
And that was with the University of South Australia. And then alongside that, we kind of set up an umbrella charity called Skin Check Champions, which is for everyone under the sun. And so Beard Season can kind of sit under that along with a whole lot of other campaigns. And then the master charity is called Skin Check Champions. And we're basically just here to improve access and awareness for early detection.
Mm.
We just focus on early detection and helping people visit their doctors for a skin check. And we want to be that connector and the enabler and kind of there by their side as they go through their skin check journey. And which is why I really want to be here and talking to doctors, is because they are at the coalface of the issue. And if we can help them through that and navigate that process, then that's where I see us being really useful as an organization.
Yeah. And so I guess you're really on the space as well of the latest technology as far as skin detection, things like that. What's been happening lately? We get a little bit on the news every now and then, you know? Mm.
So I think the big thing for us and why this is such a big opportunity, it's kind of what I call it, a once in a generational opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of a national targeted screening program has been around for ages, and we've been doing pop-up clinics now for ages, and a lot of other groups have been doing them for longer than us. But it's always been deemed as too expensive, and our cost per check is around $120, $130 a pop.
Yeah.
But to get that down to that, we've kind of needed the innovations in technology that's happened in the last kind of 5-10 years.
Right.
And basically what that does is help reduce inefficiencies, like less paperwork. It's all digital, cloud-based now. And with the introduction of AI, we can help, it just dramatically it helps improve accuracy,
right,
and efficiency. So basically, rather than like the gold standard, I suppose, if we could do anything, is just bring dermatologists to remote regional areas or places where people don't have access. But there's hardly any dermatologists. Their weekends are sacred. And it's a very similar story for doctors. So what we're doing is using nurses in conjunction with local GP or LHNs, and then bringing them out or training them up in those areas. So we're building capacity.
Yeah.
And alongside that, they've got access to AI to help with their training, so they can get a second opinion straight away.
Mm. Is the AI helping to recognize, or is it more just about sharing it?
It's a diagnostic tool, but at the moment it's officially a trading tool.
Yeah.
So basically we're dealing with some of the best algorithms in the world, and it like beat a panel of 21 of the world's best dermatologists at a cancer conference.
Is that right? Wow.
And it's phenomenal. In a split second, it can go 0 to 100 risk. And wow. It classifies what type of skin cancer it is. But it basically compares it to a massive database, and it is getting, the more people we screen, the more that database grows.
Yeah.
So basically, that this will help, and it's, we've never had access to that until now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That'll help bring the cost down, bring the efficiency up, and hopefully make the model a lot more sustainable and viable as a investment for federal. So basically, now's the first time we've asked the government for money.
Right. Or
up until now, it's all been funded by donors and supporters and stuff like that.
And how's that gone, mate? Have you had a response from the government?
I think they're keen. We've been talking to them for ages, and it was so interesting. In 2019, we sat on a round table with the other government, and the issue of skin cancer came up, and no one said anything. They were like, no, it's
right.
Not going to happen. And then basically last week, we were in Adelaide at a round table purely focused on skin cancer screening, and there was like 50 people in the room, and it was really healthy, kind of excited discussion. I think they've dedicated $10.3 million to a roadmap towards a targeted screening program. And there's a lot of action now. So it's really good to see. Like, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we've got a really compelling model, and we're really keen to integrate with, you know, all the different health initiatives that are happening now and all the other institutions, and hopefully help doctors as much as possible to do what they do, because the more we raise awareness, the more people are going to be knocking on their doors. So.
Absolutely. I mean, even targeting schools now, why not? You know, high school kids.
Yeah, to educate. Yeah.
Get in early.
Yeah.
Because that's probably when I got my melanoma, is the high school days, going to the beach. I remember having blisters on my skin from, you know.
Yeah.
I like to blame my parents, but it's a hard one.
Yeah. Well, there's so many ticking time bombs out there. Like, I think with, like, a good example is the pandemic time.
Yeah.
Apparently there's, because of that, because people weren't seeing their doctors, and it's probably the same with a lot of health issues, but I think they estimate around 81,000 people who normally would have been treated for skin cancer didn't.
Oh, right.
So there's all these people walking around that haven't been checked, that should have and should have been treated, that are just ticking time bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a lot of people, like you say, the damage has been done ages ago, but it's just a matter of when. So,
and it is very much about timing too, isn't it? I mean, I think it's called the Breslow effect, or how deep it travels. Yeah. Oh, I know, I've had the melanoma, man. I've had the melanoma. So, and absolutely, it's the first time I heard those terms, you know. But that just made me realize, you know, had I waited another year, you know, the cancer could have traveled. So it is really much about getting in at the right time, getting it out. So don't wait.
Yeah.
Scott Maggs from Skin Check Champions, thanks so much for your time, mate. We're almost at our maximum podcast limit. So great to meet you, and all the best.
Thank you.